Blog Talk Radio.
Jacksonville, Florida, where God will always get the glory
honor, and the praise. For the word of God saith, if I be lifted up, he said that he will draw all men unto him. I am the host and one of the Christian counselors that will be on the broadcast today, Dr. Mary Smith McCoy. Christian counselor is Dr. Gloria Katzer. And we are certainly excited about what God is about to do on today. Our topic today will be the effects of spiritual problems. We're going to talk about counseling and spiritual problems. So we want you to get ready. Get ready to call a neighbor, call a friend. Tell them that the Crossroad broadcast is on the air. We're getting ready, first of all, to go before the throne of grace. The word of God said, all our ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. So today, we're getting ready to go before the throne of grace. Why don't you come and go with us? Our Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you. We praise you, God. We magnify your name. Lord God, we thank you for all that you have done, all, God, that you're going to do according to your word. We thank you, dear God, that your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway. That word how we hid in our heart that we will not sin against thee. Father, today we thank you for another opportunity, God, to come before you and to go before your people. God, in this broadcast, God calls lives to be changed. God calls them to get the answers that they need, God. Those things, God, that they've been thinking about, God, but there has not been an answer. Those situations that they're going through, Lord God, and they seem not to find their way. So, Lord God, even today, Lord, open up their understanding, give them revelation of what you will have them to know through the Crossroads broadcast. And for this, God, we will glorify and praise thy name. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. And amen. Again, we're so grateful for you being a part of this broadcast today, for tuning in. Today, we're going to be talking about spiritual problems. And sometimes we don't think about it, but there are times that we are having spiritual problems. And we would just like to just agree and to go back and to touch on some of the things that we talked about on last week. If you were with us, you can recap. If you wasn't with us, you can also choose to be able to hear some of the things that we talked about with spiritual issues, with spiritual problems. And then we're going to show you how that you can combat all of this with a counselor, but most of all, Jesus Christ. He is the greatest counselor, and we have professional counselors that's on the air that is speaking to you as we go through this broadcast. And we would like to thank God for Dr. Gloria Katzer that's going to be speaking to us today about counseling and spiritual problems. But before we're going to do a recap of the themes that we talked about on last Monday, and they were, we talked about Marilyn, who was 23 years old, and she was the youngest daughter of a deeply religious parent who met in Bible school and who had always hoped that one of their four children would enter the ministry or become a missionary. You know, parents always have, most parents, they have certain expectations and certain desires for their children, especially when you find a father and a mother when they've gone to college, they've gone to Bible college or seminary. When their children grow up, they would most likely want their children to be in ministry or to do something that they're going to glorify God. So that's part of these people's lives. They have been very disappointed. One of their grown children is a shoe salesman and with little ambition and no interest in the church. And then the other one is married to a factory worker who has a steady job and provides well for his family. But he has only casual interest in spiritual things. Then that was the third child, which is divorced and struggling to get through college. Now that child has moved in with a middle-aged atheist lawyer who is certainly not interested in anything but sex, and certainly not anything spiritually. Meanwhile, the parents, they're struggling to understand why that none of their children want to go to church or show any interest in spiritual things. Sometimes when you bring up children, it is your hope, as we said before, that they are interested in the church. They're interested in what's going on within the home and the church and want to be a part of it. But these parents, they were disappointed. And they prayed regularly for their children, and they boldly expressed the faith of God in their sovereignty. But they still wondered if God has let them down. They tried to bring up their children in a way that they should go, but they wondered why God has not kept them in the faith. So, you know, I'm talking to the parents and even to those that don't have children. If you just obey God, and if you bring up your child in a way that they should go, and you teach them as the Word of God tells us to teach our child, although you love them and you should love them, don't let it stress you out because that child is not doing what you think that they should be doing. The thing that you should do is continually to pray for that young adult, because they're not a child anymore. They're either young adult, they're either middle age or whatever age they may be. But you continually to lift them up before the Most High God. But one of the things you have to remember is that don't doubt your faith. Don't doubt your conversations. Don't say, God, you know, why did you not allow my son, my daughter, to be this a woman of God, a man of God? I have some kind of spirituality in their lives. Because, you know, God has that child. God has that young adult, that middle-aged person still in his hand. And your faith should be in God. Remember what the Word of God says. Word of God says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. You may not see it, but you have to believe God. It may not have come to pass, but you have to believe God. Even in their age, they're no longer children. They're no longer children, but they are young adults, and they are adults. So you can't do anything but live righteously before them. Let your light shine. Give them the Word of God as God gives you to give to them. Encourage them and leave the rest of it in the hands of God. But here we see that the parents, they wonder if God had let them down. So God has not let you down. God, He is God, and He's God all by Himself. There are certain times that our children would do things, act unseemly, or do things that we may not be pleased with, but yet we have to trust God to know that He will lead us, guide us, and that He will take care of our offspring. So here we find that the parents, they are stressed because even the daughter, Marilyn, she criticized of the church. Now, see, it let us know that she was in the church, parents had been taken to church, but then she began to criticize the church because she thought that the church was, like a bunch of hypocrites. Well, it is for that child, or that young adult, to realize that not everyone that's in the church are hypocrites. Everybody come to church are not saved. They're coming that they can be made better. They're coming that they can be made strong. They do some things. They say some things. They act some ways that are unseemly. But it is just like a spiritual hospital. You know, the more that you take of the medication that the doctor would give you, the better, most likely, that you will feel. The more that you take of God's word, the better that you will be, and the better that you will be able to go forth in the things of God. So then we see that her child thought, her daughter thought that the church was a bunch of hypocrites. But sometimes they think that the parents thought sometimes that, well, maybe you're right. Maybe the church is a bunch of hypocrites. Maybe they are not what they supposed to be. Because then you see that the enemy, the Bible says the enemy comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Then you see the enemy coming in and filling the parents' head with a lot of things that will cause them to doubt God, to doubt whether or not, you know, that the church that they belong to, it is a lot of hypocrites in the church. So that was not a good thing. That means that they're so concerned and so worried about what their children are doing that they're lacking in their faith. They're not building up their faith. They're not praying. They're not fasting. They're not being steadfast. They're not being unmovable. It seems like some shifting is happening here to me. So when they're thinking that sometimes that the daughter is thinking that they're hypocrites in the church, and especially when they thought about it when their son went through a painful divorce, the people at the church, they responded more with criticism and condemnation than they did with their compassion. Well, since things were going on the way it was, then you know the enemy was going to bring that up to them. And you know that the enemy will bring things up to you to make you doubt God, to make you not believe that you're doing the right thing. So then we see that the leadership in the church has offered little help. These are the things that the parents are thinking. Well, they didn't help our son when he was going through that difficult time when he divorced his wife, when they got a divorce. They seemed to be not interested in the people, only in the people that were spiritualized, the people that were going to church, the people that was paying the tithe, the people that was consistently there, and the people that was bringing joy. This is what they were thinking. Well, they're not really interested in us. They're not interested in our children. They weren't interested in our child when he was going through a difficult time. So they are just interested in people who have the money that's paying the tithe, the offering. Well, you know, that was the wrong mindset because that was a trick of the enemy to come in to make them think that they're not loved, they're not wanted. Nobody's paying attention to them. Pastor don't care what's going on in their lives. So when we began to look at it, then they began to be not faithful, but they was less faithful to their church themselves. And I'm talking not about the children of I'm talking about their children rather, but I'm talking about the parents right now. Because of all the situation, because of the things that they had gone through, they decided that they were going to slack off. They weren't going to attend church like they used to attend church. And the enemy, that is strategy to get you away from God's word. That's a strategy to keep you with your mind stays on things that are not true, and even if they were true, you have to be strong enough to stand firm on the Word of God, to stand firm on that solid rock. So here we see that the parents had begun to not go to church as often as they were going. And so, therefore, after they wasn't going to church, you know, the devil will come in a little bit more. And then there were some people in the church began to criticize them because they wasn't going to church. Well, that's all they needed, a little bit more wood on the fire, a little bit more for it to burn, just a little bit more to cause them to get into a state, into a mindset that they weren't going to do what they supposed to do, and they're not going to serve God the way that they're supposed to serve God. I'm touching somebody today. I'm quite sure that I am. And I believe the Lord wants you to hear this, because God don't want you to be unmovable in your faith, no matter what you may be going through. And it may be not your children, but it could be some things that are happening in your life that you think that God has forgotten about you. And you're thinking, well, God, if he forgot about me, then I'm going to forget about him, and I'm not going to do the things that I used to do. Well, I want you to know that God loves you until the very end. God loves you, and he wants to build you up, and he wants to really to make you strong. So, therefore, we need to realize that we belong to God, and God will be there for us no matter what situation that we are confronting, no matter what we may go through. God will be with us. Sometimes we see that when we have situations that in our lives like this, sometimes we need to seek counseling. We need to go to a professional counselor. Number one, Jesus is our counselor. He's the greatest counselor. He is that Prince of Peace. He's the Alpha and Omega. He's the one that will give us that blessed assurance. He's the one that will keep us. He's the one that will encourage our heart. But if we allow the enemy to come in and to take our possession, take the Word of God from us and steal it from our heart, then we're not going to be, we're going to be lacking of that strength that we need to take us through each and every day, and we will be lacking of what we need in order to inherit eternal life. Now, we find that the parents, you know, after all of this was going on, they thought that they would seek a counselor, but they didn't think a non-Christian counselor would understand their struggles. And then they even thought about, you know, if I go to my pastor, then he would be more inclined to preach about sin in the counseling session than he, just like he does in church. And they felt like in church sometimes he just, through his message, he condemned them and then condemned the situation, certain things that he said. So, you know, that was kind of like they didn't really want to go to the pastor. So the parents, they struggled alone. They felt worried about, you know, the sinful life of their children. But, you know, without God, we can do nothing. And there's no need of us worrying. And don't give things to God. Don't let him handle the situations that we are in. And there is so much that we can say about the spiritual problems and the effect of spiritual problems. And just before we go to Dr. Gloria Pastor, who's going to be talking about counseling and spiritual problems, we just want you to know that when we're talking about the effects of spiritual counseling, of problems rather, it also has to do with our attitude of pride. And that attitude of pride often leads to more pride. And we look at Proverbs, the 6th chapter, 16 through the 19th verse. There are some things that God says that he hates. And one of those, and those things that he says he hates, if you allow me just to tell you, because it helps us in our walk with Christ. It tells us, and this is for the body of Christ. This is for those that are listening. This is for those that may be listening to this broadcast later. That God said he hates a proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked imagination, feet that be swift and running to mischief, and a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among brothers. So those are actually 7 things. It's 6 things that the Lord hates, and then the Lord had us know it is 7. 7. That 7th is he that soweth discord among the brothers. And we have to check, if you are part of the body of Christ, you need to check your attitude. Because if you don't check your attitude, then it's going to breed more confusion in the body of Christ. Sin, the Bible says all unrighteousness is sin. So therefore, sin stimulates what? It stimulates more sin. And then you talk about legalism. Legalism also breeds more. It really is an excessive use of the law of God in order to achieve a solution to a problem or whatever. But there are some things that we need to think about. We need to think about being self-sufficient. I want to do everything myself. I don't need no help from my brother in Christ. I don't need anything from my sister. I got it. I can handle it. I don't want you in my business. I don't want you to interfere with what I'm doing because I'm self-sufficient. Then we want to mention distorted value. We mentioned that last week because sometimes we can have distorted values. And when we talk about distorted values, we talked about how the scandal was at Pennsylvania State and how the coaches and some of the people that would have been in administration capacities and they had a certain position, they had distorted values because of the fight that they led young men encountered some of the sexual type things that were going on the campus. There are people that knew it, people that didn't say anything about it. So where is your value? We need to examine our value, and then we need to check misunderstanding. Because we don't understand different people, we accuse them of certain things, or we thought they said this, or we thought they said that. And then you got a crisis. You got a people that's not speaking to each other, not looking at each other, and not embracing each other. So we need to look at that. This is a part of spiritual problem. And then we have 3 more, which is selfishness. You know, we have to need to ask God. You know, the Bible says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." God gave his Son. What are we giving? Are we giving life through the Word of God? Are we speaking life through other people? Are we loving others? Are we giving to others? Are we being a Christ-like in our thinking? So those are some of the things that we need to think about. Theological error, non-biblical thing. We're not thinking according to God's word. Well, these are creeping vines that keep getting larger and larger. And when it gets larger and larger, it is able to squeeze the life out of the dentist, out of the spiritual, out of the life of a person that are struggling to stay alive. So there are people that are in the church that are struggling to stay alive. That is why they're there. They want to be alive. They don't want to die. They got people that need help. And if you're a Christian, you are not the one that are stirring up problems, but you need to be able to get before the Most High God, and you need to be able to love God. When you love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and spirit, then you're going to be that vessel that's going to call somebody else to live and not to die. At this time, we're getting ready to go to our second portion of Crossroads broadcast. We're getting ready to go to Dr. Gloria Castor. We're so happy to have her with us on Crossroads on the day. And she is going to talk to us by the wayside. She's going to talk to us about counseling and spiritual problems. At this time, we would like to welcome Dr. Castor to the Crossroads broadcast. Dr. Castor.
Good evening, Dr. McCoy and the radio audience. It is an honor and a privilege to be before you today. I just thank God for the opportunity. And I am going to bring to you some clarity on counseling and spiritual problems. And I first want to kind of talk about the approach and course of any counseling. It largely depends on the nature of the counselee problem, which is the person that you're going to counsel. Now, if a person raises theological questions, and an example is maybe they are, a defiant or you know, who was involved in deliberate sins, well, the counseling would be a little different than it would be if a person who actually knows something about Christ or know Christ. And sometimes, you know, if a counselee is sincerely concerned about the spiritual, their spiritual growth, their spiritual way that they, lethargic, we'll say, our approach would be different from that take with someone who is bitter and angry with God. Although, as any other type of counseling, helpers must listen carefully and show acceptance and empathy and try to determine the nature of the cause of the real problem. And many times, as a Christian counselor, we really have to make sure that we're able to discern and be able to kind of feel the heart and the empathy of the person. And the counseling likely would involve some of the following. As a counselor, the first thing you would do as a Christian counselor, because you want to make sure that you are doing what God is directing you to do. So you have to make sure that you seek God's counseling over your counseling. And so the first thing you would do would be to pray, and before, during, and after the counseling, because you go in before asking God for the guidance that you would need, and, you know, helping you to give you spiritual insight, and you know, this is the major reason why Christian counselors need to pray for special strength and wisdom and direction. And at times you may choose to pray directly with the counselee. It depends. Sometimes the counselee might not want to pray right then, but the counselor's assignment is to make sure that they pray. And always you should spend at least some time alone in prayer concerning each counselee. So if you know that particular counselee is coming to you, you would seek guidance from God. You go into prayer, meditate, pray, because the Bible did say you meditate and seek God's direction. You got to spend some quiet time with God so you can hear from God what he wants you to do with that particular counselee. Does prayer have a psychological effect on the people who you come to help? Yes, to me it does. I feel that it does. But some researchers would suggest that it does as well. Now, when combined with meditation, for example, prayer has been shown to increase psychological well-being and decrease in anxiety. Although researchers have difficulty measuring spirituality, there is some evidence that prayer enhances spirituality and contributes to the effectiveness of the psychotherapy of the person. So you really, as a counselor, you really have to make sure that you seek God guidance. You cannot just go into a counseling session just on your own merit. You have to make sure that you go in by the guidance of the Holy Spirit, seeking God's direction, and knowing what you need to bring to that particular person. You have to ask God to decrease you as he increases in you so that you be able to discern, be able to help, be able to nurture, be able to show what you need to show and give what you need to give to that particular person. Another thing is modeling. Now, people imitate and follow people. This is the basic of social learning therapy and a principle of reflection in the New Testament. Now, Jesus served as an example of the disciples. Paul instructed the believers to follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. Peter urged church leaders to be examples to the flock. Whether or not we want this role, Christians, including Christian counselors, are example of Christian living. So their life should demonstrate or show, approve a life of Christian living. The counselor who is not seeking to imitate Christ or to grow as Christ will not be effective in spiritual counseling. You have to make sure that you are connected with Christ, because if you're a Christian counselor, you have to have the love of Christ and the direction that he would send you and the way he would send you in your heart. Otherwise, it will not be effective. The counselor who wants to be effective in helping those with spiritual problems must recognize that he or she is a model that counselees will follow and occasionally react against. Now, I want to skip down and talk about, I'll talk on exhorting. And as you know, we use the Bible, and the words does not mean to preach at someone, to use sharp words and to demand obedience. Exhortation involves a God-given ability to come alongside to help and to strengthen those who are spiritually weak, because we are all not on the same level of faith. Some people are stronger in faith than others. Some are not. But you don't criticize that person because they're not where you at. You have to help them and give them insight along the way so that you can help them through whatever they're going through to reassure those who are wavering in their faith and support those who are facing adverse circumstances and to encourage those who lack assurance of security. At times, the helper will point out sin, generally challenge the counselee thinking or conclusion, encouraging the counselee, which is the person that you're counseling, to change. Guide as decisions are made and give support to new behaviors is tried and evaluated. Now, when you begin to teach a person, beginning counselors and some who are most experienced tend to advise givers. Sometimes it reflects the anxiety of the counselor who wants to provide immediate answers that ease their own discomfort and briefly relieve the counselee's suffering. Too often, however, advice given put to the counselor into a superior, all-knowing position, one that some of them can easily come to enjoy, and it isn't difficult for them to delude themselves into thinking that they do have the answers. Now, counselees rarely grow or learn to solve problems based on advice that is given by others. You can get so much advice from all different type of people until you'll wind up being confused. And the best advice to get is get some kind of spiritual insight on what you need to do concerning your life and the problem that you're going through. Now, spiritual growth and renewal is a much slower process of soul care that frequently involves traveling through times of difficulty, spiritual darkness, with the gentle instruction of a wise guide. Now, a little bit about spiritual counseling, too. it's often gentle. It should be gentle, sensitive form of guidance and instructions. Now, knowing and loving God is what we are really trying to get that person to see, that no matter what they're going through, no matter what their lifestyle has been back, no matter what sins they have committed, God still loves them. Confusion and spiritual problems often come to our forgetting the others. Now, to emphasize the wrath of God without seeing his mercy is a plunge one into fear and guilt. To stress his mercy and love without his holiness and justice can lead us into a false sense of security and a lack of concern about spiritual issues and responsibilities. God wants us to know him. And in spiritual counseling, our assignment is trying to get the counselee to know that we want you to have an insight on the loving God that we know. We come to share with you what we know and what God has done for us. And many times, you know, sometimes you might have a person that come in that has been through the same thing that you have been through, because there's no one that has not been through something in their lives. And you are there to kind of like be what they need to be, to help them along the way and to bring them out of what they have been going through and the hurt and pain and disappointment. Now, this is a continuing challenge that no human mind will ever complete. It is a process that comes first by listening to God's word, by seeking and understand and apply it to our lives with the help of guidance and the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the number one person. The Holy Spirit is not an it. The Holy Spirit is the third person of the Godhead, and he is here to be with us. He is who Jesus has sent back to lead and guide us into all truth and to help us and to kind of convict us when we're going in the wrong direction. Second, we know God by thinking about his character as revealed in the Bible. And in reading and studying the word of God, there's no way that you can understand the person of God unless you read the word of God and learn about his character. We know that God, by thinking about his character as revealed in the Bible and in the world, and by expressing thanks for his love and fellowship. Third, we know God by obeying his commands. We have to, God, if God's word has given us a command or a promise, we have to learn that and apply it to our life and live that lifestyle. And finally, we know God through the participation and service in his body, the church. And it is important that there he told us, do not fail to assemble ourselves together. That means come together, fellowship, worship, just hug and praise and just enjoy each other's as we come together in fellowship. Now, TV is good, but you can't fellowship in TV like you can to hug your sisters and brothers and come and share like you can in your church. You can't do that like you do on TV. So we need to make sure we do not fail to assemble ourselves together in baptism. Those are things that he wants us to make sure that we do. Now, in spiritual counseling, the counselor has the challenge of helping counselee to know and love God. We don't accomplish this by giving lectures or sermonettes. Instead, the counselee must see God in the counselor's lifestyle, conversation, attitude, and periodically reference of the scripture. Such teaching places considerable responsibility on the counselor. It is our responsibility to give you what you need before you leave there so that we'll know that you'll leave with something solid and foundation that can give you the go away with knowing when you leave there that God does love you, that he is a loving God, and that he's there for you. And like his word said, he will never leave you nor forsake you. We want you to go away with knowing that God is with you no matter how many times you've gone through and felt like he wasn't there, he is there. We cannot teach others to know God unless we ourselves growing in this knowledge and spiritual walk. Helping counselee to know God, therefore, requires an awareness and spiritual depth that far exceed the teaching of any book, counseling, or psychotherapy. We have to make sure that we ourselves are rooted and grounded in the love of God, and that we are there to support you, to care about you, and to give you what you need to become whole. Now, Christian love, the given sacrificial, unconditional, Christ-like love described in 1 Corinthians 13 have been called incomparably the greatest psychotherapeutic agent, something that professional psychiatry cannot of itself create, focus, nor release. Love is the attribute of God that leads him to send his, that led him to send his son to earth so that we might personally become acquainted with the Lord of the universe. Counselees need to hear about God's love. Even more so, they need to experience and observe his love as it flows from God. Through the dedicated counselor and other Christians and into the lives of counselees who feel unloved, unacceptable, guilty, confused, and spiritually needy. Many times people have gone through situations and they have felt like they someone have hurt them and they really couldn't forgive them. Now we want to talk about sin and forgiveness. The Bible never covers over sin or denies its prevalence and destructiveness. God hates sin and eventually punishes unrepentant sinners. So we live a repentant life. There are times that we go through situations that we think we've did wrong, but we need to repent for that. However, you have to forgive. If someone do you wrong, you cannot go around and hold that in your heart, because the Lord strictly says if you don't forgive others, he won't forgive you. So we have to learn how to forgive people. And as I come to a close, the Bible also instructs us to confess our sins to one another. This is not done to get divine forgiveness. God forgives when we confess to him directly. Confession to others, however, can be therapeutic. Often it stimulates others to forgive us, and sometimes it helps us to forgive ourselves. Confession to others can also be accompanied by the healing power of prayer. And we need to make sure that we keep our hearts and our minds open to God and make sure that whenever we have wronged anyone, that we're to go to that person. However, sometimes you'll go to that person and they don't receive it. But you go to them, we have to make sure that we go to them and make sure that we do what we need to do. The counselor must share the biblical perspective and sin and forgiveness. At times, it is necessary to confront counselees and their sins, counselees with their sins. In so doing, the counselor must show a forgiving, non-judgmental attitude, and we cannot talk about forgiving and refuse to demonstrate it. The Holy Spirit controls. Christian counselors must never underestimate the role of the Holy Spirit in counseling. Often he gives counselors discernment, as I said before, and wisdom and supplement our training and experience so that we are more effective in the counseling role. According to one counselor, praise the Lord, the Holy Spirit offers incalculable resources for healing, and he leads counselees to a recognition of sin, teaches them about forgiveness, gives them encouragement, and live within as a quiet guide. The Holy Spirit is our guide to lead and to keep us. Filling us is not a once-in-a-lifetime event. It's a daily process of breathing out sin through confession and breathing in the fullness of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank God for that. Back to you, Dr. McCoy.
We would like to thank Dr. Castor for talking to us about counseling, counseling through spiritual problems, to let us know that there are professional counselors that are available to help you through certain things that you may be going through. Don't go to people that are not actually saved, that not saved, because many times that they do not have the Spirit of God and they may not be able to give you what you need. Particularly when we're talking about spiritual issues, if you can't go to an atheist if they don't really acknowledge God, we need the Bible saying all thy ways acknowledge him and he will direct your path. Again, if we consider, number one, the greatest counselor, which is Jesus Christ, consider him, consider his word, consider that with him that he can give you what you need. And if you need a counselor, you can seek the help of a Christian counselor. You can seek the help of your pastor, those that are been called to as a shepherd of the flock, that will be able to inspire you, be able to encourage you, to be able to lead you in the right way. So we thank God for this opportunity to be able to come before you today to talk to you about the spiritual issues and also the counseling, how we counsel spiritual problems. We would like to invite you to come back on our next broadcast on next week as we go before God and as we give you some aspects of vocational counseling. So we're going to be talking about that on next week, but we want you to know that God is in love with you and that God only wants the best for you. We're getting ready to go before the throne of grace. We're going to ask Dr. Gloria Castor to pray for you on today. And also, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, she is going to take you before the throne so that you can be able to give your life to Christ. Yes, we are Christian counselors, and we like to counsel the total man. And so at this time, we're going to ask Dr. Gloria Castor to come and to pray for you. Dr. Castor.
Eternal and Holy Father, we come in the name of your Son, Jesus the Christ. We come out of a spirit of gratitude, honor, praises, and thanksgiving. What an awesome and mighty God you are, and you're always so timely. You're always on time, and there's nothing that you can and will not do for us. And we take this opportunity now to ask your forgiveness if we're wronged in any way and ask your guidance and your direction. And, Lord, according to your word, you said in your word that in Romans 10, 9, and 10, it says, and you made it so easy for us because you said if we confess that Jesus is Lord and if we believe within our hearts that God has raised him from the dead, that thou shalt be saved. And there's anyone who don't know you in the pardon of their sins. And if there's anyone who do not believe John 3:16 that you sent your son down to, through 42 generations to save and to die and save a sin world and to forgive us of all of our sins. We pray for every unsaved person out there today that they will hear this word, that they heard what we had talked about today and that it will touch their hearts and that they will let it meditate in their hearts, Father, and that they, in fact, Lord, will seek your guidance and your direction. Let them know if they call on your name, you'll be there. Because you said anyone that call on your name shall be saved and their house. And we pray that someone have heard this word, that it have touched their hearts, and that we call on your name. And we thank you, Father, for this radio broadcast today. We thank you for Dr. McCoy and myself, and we just honor you for who you are and open up this opportunity. And we ask you to fill us and use us, Father. We commit totally to your will and your direction. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Again, we'd like to invite you to join us on next Monday for the Crossroads broadcast with our panelists, Dr. June Normier, Dr. Rosemary Lucio, and we want you to know that God is still God and He's God all by Himself. We thank Dr. Gloria Castor for being with us on today, and we bless the Lord for you and for all those in our radio audience. May God bless and keep you, is our prayer.